Chapter 28. Quiet Club. At the National Mime Association, Hungry Paul and Lambert had arranged the room beautifully for the first Quiet Club. The seats were in a circle, and there were Christmas lights across the foot of the stage, a nice idea suggested by Lambert, who was quite visual, as it turned out. The living statues took their positions at intervals around the room. Marley's ghost at the door where people came in, a wind-swept man beside the reception desk, and various chimney sweeps and Mozarts mixed in with the seats. Hungry Paul had John Cage's 4:33 playing in the background, just to relax everybody. Naturally, Helen and Peter were there. Helen, in particular, was keen to see what the bedsit was like, though Hungry Paul explained that they had not yet fixed a date for Arno's girlfriend to move out, which he felt was a matter of some delicacy that would resolve itself in time. Though Grace was on honeymoon, she said that she would still like to be involved. After all, she said, with its temples and shrines, Kyoto was perhaps the capital of silence. At the appointed time, she and Andrew would arrange to sit quietly in a nearby Zen temple, so that they could share the moment, though thousands of miles away. Leonard was, of course, in attendance, and had been happy to help out. It had been his idea to have tea and biscuits afterwards, taking it a step further by asking in the shop for the quietest biscuits they had, which were Jaffa cakes, obviously. Shelley couldn't come, unfortunately. The Sunday night slot clashed with the orientation lecture she was attending for the part-time BA in Fine Arts that she had signed up for, having been inspired by Leonard and encouraged by her father. Shelley's sister did her bit by writing out a reusable babysitting voucher for whenever she needed a bit of help. Patrick had also made his own voucher, entitling him to a later bedtime and a sugary cereal whenever he was being babysat. Shelley said she would love to come to next month's Quiet Club. Helen had also mentioned it to Barbara, who had left hospital and was looking to try new things. Though she confessed that she'd never been quiet for a full hour in her life before, she thought it sounded healthy and peaceful, and that it could be a nice way to meet new people. She came early and brought her own diabetic biscuits. Hungry Paul had been in to see Mrs. Hawthorne earlier that week. She had been asleep for several days and was not getting better. He stayed with her for over an hour, holding her hand and enjoying the silence for both of them. At judo during the week, where Hungry Paul was still stiff from the wedding day Lindy Hop, he mentioned it to his sensei and to Laszlo. Not being chatty by nature, they were both taken with the idea and came along before their night shift as security guards at a warehouse. Hungry Paul was touched to see them on non-judo time and felt that they were beginning to warm to him. Lambert had asked at the supermarket whether he could put a poster on their notice board, and got chatting to the same duty manager who had opened Hungry Paul's tin of roses. He had no problem with them using the notice board, and even said that if they ever needed help fundraising, he could provide them with a Saturday afternoon bag-packing slot. Lambert thanked him sincerely and invited him along, but it wasn't his thing. He was like a shark, he said, had to keep moving. There were even a few new faces who showed up, a woman in exercise gear holding a rolled-up yoga mat, two Italian students, and a man in dungarees who would only say that he was an old friend of Arno's, touching the side of his nose as he said this. When the time came, Hungry Paul placed a potted sunflower on a stool in the middle of the circle. A hush, had it been needed, would surely have fallen on the assembled group. "Okay, everybody," he began. "Thank you for coming to the first Sunday night Quiet Club. When I take my seat, we will begin sitting for an hour. There are no special instructions except that we should do our best to be as quiet as this flower." Each of the participants had their own experience during that hour, which goes to show the infinite variety in life. Even when doing nothing, people do it differently. Sensei and Laszlo sat stock still and concentrated on the silence, their mental discipline from the martial arts being too deeply rooted to do otherwise. By contrast, Barbara was utterly distracted, looking around the room for someone to share eye contact with, hoping to convey her sense of novelty about the whole situation. Lambert, who had done so much to arrange the evening, sat and marvelled at the intimacy of sharing silence so deliberately with others. The living statues excelled themselves, having to share a small indoor space brought out their competitive side as they tried to match each other's imperturbability. Arno's friend adopted an ostentatious meditation pose, intended to signal an affinity with the attractive yoga lady, while the Italian students sat quietly, wondering whether they were in the right place at all. It didn't take long for Peter to start dozing off, while Helen used the time to take stock of the changes in her family and the new life that was slowly opening up before her. Across the other side of the world, Grace sat, cross-legged at a Zen temple, Andrew struggling in the early morning heat beside her. Leonard, for whom silence was as comfortable as bed, sat and enjoyed the time, his universe once again expanding. In the middle of it all sat hungry Paul, with who knows what going through his mind. To think that so much has been written and said about flowers over the centuries, and yet it took someone as special as hungry Paul to notice how quiet they are.
Melinda Audio and Audible Studios hope you enjoyed the reading of Leonard and Hungry Paul, written by Ronan Hessian and read by John Hopkins. Our audiobooks are becoming increasingly popular among travelers, families, and people who are on the go. If you really enjoyed this audiobook, please introduce your friends and family to the experience. We're sure they'll love you for it. If you want to hear more about our fabulous range of audio titles, please visit us online at Belinda.com. Thanks for listening, and remember to always take a Belinda audiobook with you.